Well, good morning. We are talking about the Ten Commands or the Ten Commandments, and we are looking at how they are important for us. Jesus, our God, gave the Ten Commandments to Israel thousands of years ago, roughly about 3,000 years ago, give or take a few years. And so some of them may say, well, these are irrelevant. They mean nothing for us today. Why are we looking at the Ten Commands? But I think that they are very important for us still as Christians because they give us an idea of what God wants us and how God wants us to live. And so today we're on the third one. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. We'll look at verse 7, and verse 7 gives us our third command. We've looked at the first one, which is that God says, I am supremely and exclusively worshipped. God says, have no other gods before me. I am number one in your life. And we looked at how that applies to us and how we oftentimes put other things before him. And then we looked at the second one that we oftentimes feel like, man, at least I got number two down, where it says, don't put any graven images or don't make any graven images of God. And what was the really going on behind that is when you try to make an image of something, you capture or you think you capture the essence of that being. And so God says, I am too glorious, my name is too grand for you to try to capture me in some image that is made of stone or clay or wood. And we looked at how sometimes we try to capture God's image wrongly in our own life, and we try to put boxes around God, and we put these perimeters that do not capture the grandness and the grandeur of God. Well, today we're going to look at a third one. And there is a certain idea that goes along with the third one. You may think you've got it all figured out. You may say, hey, I break this one quite often. But the third one is going to talk about specifically who it is that we worship. So it talks about this God that we are supposed to worship first. He talks about this God who we make an image of it. And now he's going to talk about his name. We're going to talk about the name of God and how it is to be honored. And we see this oftentimes as a directive against profanity. And I would argue it's a good thing not to curse. It's a good thing not to take God's name in a profane statement. But I want to argue that this command has so much more to do with just putting God's name in a phrase that may include a cuss word or a substitution for a cuss word. And so this morning, I want us to look at that. I want us to say, how is it that possibly that you and I are taking God's name in vain? And so God demands reverence for his name. He deserves reverence. He is a God like no other. There is none that can compare to him. And last week, we looked at that. We looked how Scripture describes God. It talks about him being clothed with majesty. And so how is it that we feel okay to take God's name in vain? And so what I want us to do when we leave here today is I want us to carry and I want to represent the name of God well. And so this morning, let's look at the third command. In Exodus chapter 20, one verse 7 says this, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That yours may say, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not misuse the name of your Lord God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. The Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. So the first thing we need to see here, quite easy and quite simply, is that we need to honor God's name. Now, what does that mean? We talk about a name here in our lives that what is a name? It's just a moniker we put on people. It's just something that we call them so they know they are the ones that we know who they're talking about, right? And you know, my name is Joshua. If you say Joshua, I'm going to look. But a name captures so much more than that. Our name today, we associate our name with someone's identity, with someone's personality. When someone says the name Joshua, and I'm one of the few you may know, you may start thinking of characteristics and apply those to me. You may think smart, tall, dark, and handsome with flowing hair, right? Right. Those are not the characteristics you put with me, because those do not describe me. And so when you think of Joshua, you may think pastor, you may think father, you may think of some other characteristics that are connected to me. And so my name is Joshua, but my name carries a lot more than just a name. It's not just something that you say to get my attention or have something that can describe me by, but it holds characteristics of me. We lose this in our day today. We lose this in our concepts of a name today. But I want you to understand, back in Scripture, back in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in these cultures, a name meant so much more than just a moniker, just something we call somebody to get their attention. The closest thing we have to it is maybe you've seen some old movies. And in the old movies, it's cowboys and Indians, right? And the Indians have these names that really describe a life event for them. Or maybe it describes who they are. And they may be like, you know, Screaming Eagle or whatever. And maybe he fell out of a tree. I don't know. But it points back to a life event for him. And so we see that in our culture, or in American culture back years ago, that an Indian may have a name that reflected an event in their life. And it was perfectly okay for them to change their name if an event really just captured a new persona or a new way for them to live. This is not a foreign concept to Scripture. I want to pull you into the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, we find a guy whose name is Jacob. Now, Jacob, the name Jacob means trickster. And I don't know if Jacob was born named Jacob or not. But Jacob means trickster. And Jacob tricked, or he fooled, two very important people in his life. The first one was his older brother Esau. He tricked him into giving him his birthright. He tricked him into being the older son, or getting the respect and getting the promise, getting the inheritance of the older brother, which was way much more than the younger brother, because he tricked him and said, "Look, I'll give you some stew if you give me your name, your birthright." And so he tricked him into doing it. And then later on in life, when it comes time for his father to die, his father is going to bless his oldest son. And by pronouncing this blessing, it was much more than saying, you're a good son, have a good day. But the blessing meant so much more. It talked about who he is and how God would bless him. And so one day, he finds out his dad is dying. He wants to bless Esau, the older brother, with the older brother blessing. And Jacob and his mom, they hatched this plan that where Jacob would hurry up and kill a goat, and she would cook the food, and while she's cooking it, he would prepare the skins from the animal, and he would put it on him because his brother was a hairy dude. And so he comes into his father's room. His father's blind. And his father says, "Well, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau." And he tricks his father into blessing him. And Jacob lives a life as a trickster, going around manipulating people to do the things that he wants. Then about 7 years after the blessing from his father, he encounters God late one night. The Bible says he wrestles with God. And right before the dawn, he says, "Bless me." He says, "Bless me." And God asks Jacob a very important question. He says, what's your name? And he tells him, my name is Jacob. And what he's doing is he's saying way much more than my name is Jacob, but he's saying my character is a trickster. My character is someone who takes advantage of others. My character is someone who takes the easy way out. And therefore, I'm known as a trickster. I'm known as a Jacob. And God says, I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to also bless you by changing your name because you no longer have to live the life as a trickster, but your name will now be Israel, which means Prince of God. Names mean so much more in Scripture and so much more in the ancient social and cultural context than they do today. If you go to the New Testament, the angel comes to Mary and he says, hey, you're going to have a child, and I want you to name him Jesus. And Jesus is not just a cool name. Other people had the name Jesus. Jesus is not the first person with the name Jesus. As a matter of fact, my name is the Hebrew version of Jesus. Joshua means the same thing as Jesus does. So this would not have been, wow, it's a wholly new name. But the name means something. The name means that God saves or a deliverer or it means that Yahweh is my salvation. And so what he's saying is that Jesus, he may be other Jesuses around, but you need to understand this one is the deliverer. This one is the one by which we will find salvation. This one is the one by which God will save the people. And so a name is so much more than just a moniker. It is a character. It is a representative of the characteristics of God. And God says, when you use my name, you better honor it. When you use my name, when you take my name, when people think that you are part of me, you better honor my name because my name is my character. My name is so much more than just the moniker. In Jesus' famous prayer, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or honored or set apart, holy is your name. It's because God is honored, God is holy. And when we take God's name in vain, we empty it. We make it hollow. When we use it in the wrong way, we take all of the meaning out of it. We void it of what it is, and we make it foolishness to those around us. So when you take God's name in vain, you empty God's name. Think about that. You empty his name. You void his character. You make it hollow, and you make him sound foolish. At the end of the Civil War, Robert E. Lee, who was the general of the South, goes back home to Virginia. He goes back home defeated, but he goes back home as a respected man, both of the North and of the South, because he was a man of integrity, he was a man of character, and a man of conviction. And regardless of what you think of the Civil War, which side and whatnot, means nothing. But the fact is that this man was well respected amongst the nation. And when the war was ended, a group of businessmen who were starting an insurance company decided that they needed a name that was recognizable. So they went to General Lee and they said, Robert, we want to name our company the Robert E. Lee Insurance Company. And he said, well, all we want from you is to use your name. All we want from you is just you can have a cush job. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to make any decisions. You can just we'll just send you a monthly stipend, and all you have to do is let us use your name. And Robert E. Lee thought for a minute. It's a pretty good offer. and you just let somebody name something after you and they send you money every month. Most of us would take that offer. And he said, no. They said, but General Lee, why not? If you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to move. You don't have to. We just want to use your name. And Robbie said, no. The only thing I've got left is my name. And I'm not going to let you use it. When we think about that, and we think that God's name encompasses his character, encompasses his integrity, encompasses who he is, we better be careful how we use his name. It's interesting that you can translate this scripture several different ways. The way the Holman translates it, which is the one that I read out of every week, says, do not misuse the name of the Lord. We are much more familiar with do not take the Lord's name in vain. But really the Hebrew word behind that, take is a proper term, but it means to take up. You can also say, is carry with you. So it says, don't take up, don't carry around the Lord's name in vain. And so I want to ask you this question, and maybe you're asking this question. How is it that we take God's name in vain? How is it that we carry his name in vain? Well, this morning I want to give you 7 ways. These are not an exhaustive list. This may not be or this is not all the ways that we carry God's name in vain, but I think these are some of the ways we carry God's name in vain, and I think these are some of the ways that you and I carry God's name in vain today. These are ways that we empty, and the way that we profane, and the way that we void God's name in character. And so I want to give you these 7 things. The first one is that we use God's name in vain when we use his name with profanity. This is the way that you know, or the way that you've been brought up. When someone says, God blank, or oh my God, or Jesus Christ, and they don't really call on him. And they use his name, and it's not in a name that brings him honor or recognizes his esteem or recognizes his glory, but rather it is a profane just way of using it in a sentence that means nothing about God's glory and God's goodness, but it's a way that we empty his name. And us Christians, we've done a really good job of using substitutes, right? We won't say God blank, but we'll say something like doggone, or dogget, or dag nabbit. And we're not saying it, but we're substituting. Well, I just wonder, do you think God's stupid enough to think that if you substitute something else for his name, that you've really not taken his name in vain? Because everybody else in society, everybody else in culture, everybody else in the English-speaking word knows what you mean. And I got to admit, too many times I've substituted. I mean, I've cursed. But I've substituted and I've emptied God's name of his character. But when you read the rest of the verse, it makes this statement that we oftentimes, and we like to just kind of run by. It says, don't misuse God's name or don't take God's name in vain. For those who do will not be unpunished. Those who do will not go unpunished. Now, and you got to think, why did he pick this one? Because Because he doesn't say those who murder will not go unpunished. Those who lie will not go unpunished. And I would think, hey, why don't we start with the first one? If somebody's going to worship something else, shouldn't they be punished? And you got to realize that God says you will be punished if you take my name in vain. There has to be more to it than if I say, oh my God. So what else can it be? Let me give you some others. Some other ways that we take God's name in vain. Maybe it's when you ridicule those that God has chosen to call his people. I still think that God has a special place for Israel. You read the book of Romans, you read Romans 9 and 10, and Paul talks about how God still has a plan to save Israel. And I think that salvation is through Jesus Christ. I think it's through faith in Christ alone. But God has not given up on his people. And when we say, well, that's just Israel, and they deserve to be punished, or maybe they deserve to be hurt because they killed Jesus, whoo! Man, God has put his name on them. And when we refuse to support them, when we refuse to love them, when we refuse to try to evangelize them or try to tell them about their Savior, we have taken God's name and we say, well, God, you've made a mistake. You shouldn't have put your name on these people. And so I'm going to ignore them. And I'm not making a political statement. This has nothing to do with the U.S. and relations with Israel. I'm talking about how we as Christians respond to those who are called his people. I think we should take responsibility and realize that they are part of the nations that need to know that their God has come, and that Jesus is their Messiah. What about another way? Maybe you've done this, or maybe you've heard that. When someone says, or maybe when you say, God said whatever. God told me this or that. Or God wants me to X, Y, or Z. And more times than not, people say those things when they want to just fulfill their own desires. God told me to go and do this. God told me to quit this job and go do that one. God told me to dump this girl and date this girl. God told me that, you know what, I should divorce my husband and pursue this man. God told me, don't blame God for your own desires. Don't blame God for your own sinful passions. Don't put God's name on things that are not his. If you want to say God said do this, make sure that it's God who said it and not just the spaghetti sauce from last night. And the way I've seen this so much growing up, particularly in youth group, was that a girl would tell a guy, or a guy would tell a girl, God said for us not to date. Or God said, I just need to be alone right now. And it's because you didn't have the courage to say, I don't want to be with you anymore, and so I'm going to dump it on God. I mean, who's going to really argue with, God said do this? I mean, I'm not. The thing is, 2 weeks later, they're with the next guy, the next girl, and you're like, I thought God said that you needed to be alone. And we take God and we use him for our own purposes. And we take God's name and we use him for our own pleasures. And we take God's name and we empty it and we hollow it out and we void it because it's what we want to do and we don't honor him. We go around and say, well, God said this, that, or what else? If you want to use the terms God said, you better be reading the Bible and quoting scripture and using it in context. So often we say, God said, and we want to use God for our own desires, our own decisions. The fourth way I think that we take God's name in vain and we empty it and we void it is that when we sing songs that we don't live. We sing songs, we make vows, we make promises during a time of response, and we say, God, I'm going to do this. And really, it's just an emotional decision, and we never intend to follow through. How many times have we sung songs about dedicating our life or giving our life or surrendering our life? How many times have we sung, I surrender all, but I refuse to give God anything? I'm not giving him my time. I'm not giving him my energy. I'm not giving him my money. I'm not giving him anything. But I'm going to sing, I surrender all. Shame on us for making vows and making promises to God and saying, well, God, you know what? I really didn't mean it. How many times have you prayed during a time of response, reflecting on the sermon, and you say, well, God, I want to be better at this, or God, I'm sorry for that, and you walk out of the door, and you forget everything you've done, you forget every promise you made, you forget every vow you've taken, and you said, I'm going to live the way I want to live. And we say, God, your holiness, your righteousness, I'm going to empty that. I'm going to drain it of all that. And I'll just make promises to you from time to time. And we take God's name in vain and we carry it around like it's just something that we can throw on the table, a trump card for us just to say, I'm feeling bad today. I want to feel good. So I'm going to use God's name. And we empty it of all it is. A fifth way in which we often take God's name in vain is when we call things the gospel that is not. There are things floating around in our culture, in our society, that are called the gospel. In reality, they're not the gospel. We have things like, it's called the prosperity gospel, which says God wants to prosper you no matter what. That Jesus wants you to be rich. He wants you to never have a trouble in your life. That God wants you to prosper and that God is going to bless you as long as you sow seeds of faith. And as long as you do X, Y, and Z, and we've cheapened the gospel and we've torn down the name of God so that we can act like all that matters is money and feeling good. Our buzzword in the last few years within the church is called the social gospel. And the social gospel, the concept behind that is that we're going to go around doing good for people. We're going to go in and we're going to bring people water. We're going to go in and we're going to give them medical attention. We're going to go in and we're going to help them in this way or that way. Maybe we're going to dig them a well or help them fight some disease or we're going to do something for them. And maybe or maybe not the gospel is around. And too many times we go and we hand someone a cup of water, supposedly in Jesus' name, but we never use Jesus' name. We just want to make social things better. Now, am I saying it's something wrong to go give people water in Jesus' name? Am I saying that we should not go and do medical things in countries where they need it? No. But don't call it the social gospel if there's no gospel in it. There's a world of difference between that and what a lot of our folks have been doing in El Salvador, where they go and they'll do medical stuff, but before you get your medicine, you're going to hear about Jesus. So the gospel is the main thing, and the medical stuff is just secondary. Or we call things that, you know, you can get to God in multiple different ways. There's other good news out there. In reality, there's only one good news, and that is that Jesus came, he died, he lived the perfect life, he died, he rose again, and he's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's coming back one day to get his children. And the question is, are you part of the church? Are you his? I don't mean do you go to church, but are you part of his bride? And if not, he's not coming to get you. And so we come up with these other gospels to make us feel good, or to make us feel good about not sharing the gospel. Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to do something for them, and hopefully they see that I'm a good person. And maybe they might ask about Jesus. A sixth way is that when the church refuses to act like the church. The church has God's name. The church refuses to be the church and to go out and to share the good news with others. And the church refuses to be a light in the darkness. The church refuses to do the things God has called us to do. And we just gather together within our walls, and we make sure the walls are tall so that society doesn't hurt us and so culture doesn't get to us. And we refuse to go out and be the church. And we say, God, you love us. And God says, yes, I love you, but I love them too. Go and tell about me. God says, don't carry my name in vain. The last one is when we call ourselves Christians, but we don't act like it. There's lots of people in America who call themselves Christians. There's lots of people in Eunice who call themselves Christians. And I would go so far as to say there are people in our church who say that they are Christians but don't act like it. And God says, don't carry my name in vain. Don't empty my name of what it is. Don't void who I am. As you know, I travel a lot. And I get to go to different places, and God has blessed me with the ability to take trips and to go and share the gospel in other countries. And when I go to other countries and when I travel a lot, I bring my backpack with me. When I go to school, I bring my backpack with me. My wife says I'm a professional student. So I walk around with a backpack a lot of times. And I carry my backpack a lot of places. And this backpack has been to other countries. It's been to Spain. It's been to South Africa a few times. It's been to Spain a few times. I can't remember exactly when I got it. It may or may not have gone to Chile and to Italy as well. But I carry around this backpack. And backpacks are made to have stuff in them, that they are characterized by the fact that they are used to bring stuff with you that you don't want to carry in your hands. But as a Christian, we carry around the name of God. Matter of fact, our name comes from Christ itself. We are so connecting ourselves with God, we are saying we are little Jesuses. And in my backpack, when I bring it wherever I go, I usually bring my computer and a few books, because when you travel, there's lots of downtime. It's a good time to read. I usually have water in here and any other thing I may need. And when I think about God and I think about me carrying my backpack, and I think that God says, don't empty my name. Don't void my name. Don't be casual with my name. I think about, you know, what are those things that make God? What are characteristics that are in God that when we talk about who he is, when we talk about him being the great I am, when we talk about him being the one who deserves all glory and all honor, what are the characteristics of God that we think about? And I think we often think of stuff like love. God is love. We really like love because we want to be loved by God. And so we carry around love. Maybe not for one another, but that God loves me at least. I don't know about you, but he loves me. And so we want to keep God's love. That's a good one there. And we also like his mercy. Because I don't know about you, but I blow it a lot. And so I want him to be nice to me. I want him not to charge me with evil. I want him to be someone who shows me mercy when I don't deserve it. I may not show you mercy, but I want God to show me mercy. And so, God, your character is mercy, and let's not forget about grace. Because you know what? We all need grace. I may not show grace to someone else, but I want God to show me grace. And so I want to carry around his grace. But then I come to stuff like his wrath. We say, God, I don't want you to show me wrath. I don't want your vengeance to come out on me. I know that I've sinned and I know there's consequences, but I don't want your wrath. And so I'm not going to talk about that aspect of your character. And so we say, God, can I put your wrath on the side? Or maybe it's holiness. Say, God, you're holy, and you tell me to be holy and to live a life that is worthy of holiness, but can we just talk about you being holy but not me being holy? And can I put this over here with your wrath because it makes me feel bad? And we definitely don't want to talk about God's judgment. See, because judgment makes me feel horrible. And I can judge others, but I don't want anybody to judge me. And God, definitely don't judge me. Remember, I want your grace and your mercy and your love. Just can you keep your judgment for other people? Instead, can I have your comfort? I want your comfort for when days are going bad and I'm not having a good time. It may be my own doing, but I just want you to be there for me. I want you to comfort me. So, God, can I pick and choose the characteristics of you that I want? I want to keep your comfort and definitely your grace because, you know what, I need grace. And your mercy because, you know what, I don't want to be judged again. And your love because I know you love me and I want you to love me. But, God, these things like your wrath and your holiness because you want me to be holy and your judgment, can you hold on to those? And I'm just going to take these things. And I'm going to carry these around. Because these are only the things that make me feel good about being a Christian. And what we do is we empty God's name of his character. When we refuse to talk about God's wrath and God's holiness and God's judgment and how God hates sin, we void his name. We empty his name. When we refuse to live lives of holiness, yet carry around his name on our back, God says, I'm not having it. Say, but God, I'm going to carry around some things. I'm going to carry your love and your mercy and your comfort and your grace. And I'll tell people that you love them. And I'll tell people that there's mercy and forgiveness. But I won't tell them that one day you're coming back to judge the wicked. The wicked by your standards, not by our standards. And we empty God's character and we empty God's name and we profane it by putting the things that we don't like over there. God, I'm not going to walk in your holiness. I'm not going to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to you because it doesn't make me feel good. And I just want to carry around the things I like about you. And then the rest of that verse comes into play. God says, don't misuse my name. Don't carry around my name in vain. Don't empty my name, because when you do, I'm going to punish you. You will not go unpunished. God's name, God's character, who God is wrapped up in his name. And when we try to empty it, God says, no, my integrity is worth more than your feelings. And you're not going to misuse my name. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to act like one. Don't take my name on your lips if you're not going to honor me and glorify me. Of all the commands God could have given, don't empty my name is one of them. God would rather you not say you're a Christian than to abuse his name. There are too many people walking around in this world who say they are Christian and they make the rest of us look bad. Because they've taken God's name and they've emptied it, they've hollowed it, they've just taken all the power and all the meaning out of it by calling themselves a Christian. God, help us. Help us not to be those people. This morning I want to ask you, have you taken God's name in vain? Have you emptied it? Have you hollowed it out? Have you done any of these things that we've talked about this morning? If so, will you fall on your face and tell God you're sorry? Ask God to hold back his judgment. We deserve it. And if you've never, you may carry around the name Christian, but you've never given him your life, you've never been his child, today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Because make no mistake, God is coming back. May not be today, it may not be in 10 years, may not be in your lifetime. But as when he comes back, it is to judge. And I pray that you do not empty his name. Do not use his name in vain. And carry his name the way he deserves to be carried. Will you stand and respond to God? Maybe your response needs to be at the altar, asking God to be with you, to walk with you. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness. Maybe you need to seek repentance, which just is a word we don't use very often to say, God, I'm not going to act the way I've been acting. I'm sorry and I'm changing my actions. I'm not going to take your name in vain. I'm not going to pick and choose the things that I want about your character. I'm going to see you as the glorious God who you are and that there is none other like you. Don't empty God's name, but glorify. Father, forgive us for treating you and your name with contempt. We molded you in our own image and we've tried to take the characteristics that we like. We've tried to dump the ones that we don't. And Father, in the process that we have taken your name in vain. God, help us to understand the seriousness of that. And this is the only command that you said that you would not leave unpunished. because you are a God of integrity. God who does what he said he would do. God, I pray that we would reflect you. That we wouldn't take the name Christian lightly. That we would strive for holiness and holy living. That our actions and our words would point people to you and not away from you. In your name we pray. Amen.